Where did the road go? Off-road edition.
Welcome to this off-road edition of Where Did the Road Go? And I have again with me Mr. Red Pill Junkie and Octavian Graves.
Hello.
Hola.
So we've talked about the Havana syndrome before, and lately it's been popping up a lot in the news because the official stance is that the Havana syndrome is not a foreign power causing it. So for anyone who doesn't know what the Havana syndrome is, the mysterious symptoms thought by some to be caused by an international weaponized attack include a buzzing or ringing in the ears, headaches, and nausea. But after examining over 1,500 cases, analysts said that they found no clear pattern of conditions among patients that could tie symptoms to an adversary's actions. And this started with a delegation in Havana all coming down with the same symptoms. And they didn't know what caused it. And then they started researching it more. And they found that other government people were also coming down with these symptoms, and they still don't know what it is, but they're saying it's definitely not a foreign attack.
Okay, so now they're not saying it was all just crickets?
Yes. Oh, yeah, they tried to completely dismiss it at first.
Right, like they've been spinning this story like three times since we first heard about it, like, I don't know, 7 years ago.
Yeah, it has been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
This says, the new report basically is more a categorical denial than ever before that a foreign actor was involved or that these are deliberate incidents. It's that denial that raises more red flags than if it had been wishy-washy. So, I mean, I feel like, one of the things they say is that some of these cases have different causes. And I think that's true of anything. There's so much stuff that you categorize because you see the end result, but you don't know how it got there. And it's obviously not always going to be the same thing, you know. And this especially is true of the paranormal. We look at the paranormal, UFOs. You see a light in the sky. Well, that could be 100 different things.
Yeah.
So I mean, yes, the Havana syndrome. People might have had similar symptoms from being exposed to other stuff, but they're very insistent this is not a foreign agency. Yeah, it does kind of make you think maybe it was a foreign agency. Or, I mean, the other thing is, could they have been testing this stuff on our own people?
Well, I don't know. That's dark.
Well, they've done it before.
Yeah, they've done it before, but the kind of stuff that people talk about, the end symptoms, like, are long lasting and totally crippling.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It is not beyond the reach it is not beyond the scope of the United States to actually do something horrible like that. And even I know that in the previous recording I mentioned Eric Weinstein. He also alluded to the fact that maybe one of the reasons why the UFO cover-up, as he puts it, has lasted that long is because the United States knows that they have been doing some really, really horrible stuff to innocent civilians.
Right.
I'm not saying like, oh, they killed them to keep the secret. No, they experimented on people. And this is something that even Jacques Vallée in his books has alluded to, that maybe some abduction experiences that we reported were actually fabrications, and they were, you know, in order to conduct some kind of like psyop experiments.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, we know about things like MK Ultra and syphilis, right, stuff they did back in the 30s or the 40s?
The 40s, yeah.
And you could say, well, that was, you know, a long time ago, but I don't think it's ever stopped. I mean, there were experiments
in Guatemala, I think.
Yeah, well, they were also with soldiers when they were in, I want to say Vietnam, they experimented with some stuff. Maybe even Desert
Agent
Storm.
Orange. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, because they don't care. I mean, it's just numbers to them.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, to say, well, you know, this could be a weapon they're testing. Yeah, you know, they could be testing it on our own people because they would have the best access to check those people afterwards and see what it did.
But here's what we're not seeing is public hearings about this. Like, yeah, everybody's saying, oh, let's have public hearings about UFOs to try to see what the government knows. why don't we see politicians actually getting involved with the victims of Havana syndrome and try to represent them and try to see if they can help them? Because like you said, you know, the government is like washing their hands, like, you know, one of those things.
Yeah.
We just know that we don't know what caused it. We just know that it wasn't our enemies. And maybe they're doing that because they say, well, this is tragic, but this is not worth triggering World War III over this, you know?
But like, shooting down a balloon, that's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
You have any thoughts on this, Octavian?
Not much, just because I don't have a lot of background on it. This is the first time I'm ever hearing about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like the Havana syndrome stuff? Yeah, this is totally new to me.
Huh.
Really?
Mm. Yeah. I think I heard of it once before, but I had no like context for it. I didn't know what it was. I just heard of it.
Okay. All right.
At first, when you said it, I was thinking like a few years ago when all those companies got caught having like a bunch of money offshores. That's what I thought you were talking about for a second. Okay.
Oh, yeah. What was that? That was the Panama Papers.
Yeah, that's it.
It's a story that has morphed and changed so many times over the years. Like first, they were speculating that it was some kind of like sonic weapon.
Yeah.
And then obviously the expert says, well, obviously the sonic weapon wouldn't be able to create the kind of like damage to the brain that we're seeing here in these patients. And then some people, me included, said, well, maybe it's some kind of like microwave weapon.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that we know for a fact that agencies like the CIA and also other countries have been experimented with for ages. This is the kind of like psychotronic weaponry that everybody was talking about in the 70s, but then nobody wants to talk about that now. And then they were saying, no, this is all just crickets and this is all nonsense. Like you said, this is kind of like people are paranoid. This is like Morgellons disease, you know, yeah. Something in their heads, but this really, there's nothing to it. But then even Gary Nolan got involved with this some in a very weird way. I still don't understand how he actually ended up researching this kind of stuff, especially because he's not a physician. He's an immunologist, where apparently his company's equipment was the only one that was equipped to do actual analysis of these cases. So according to him, he was approached by someone within the government to try to see stuff like this, and not only from diplomats or people who were in Havana and apparently another embassies, another American embassies in other foreign countries. I think in China, they actually said that the people complain about the same symptoms. But Gary Nolan says that he also has been analyzing pilots who were also had adverse effects after having a UFO experience. Right. So with Gary Nolan comes the idea that, the Havana syndrome and the UFO phenomenon are somehow linked, which gets us back to the microwave stuff.
Yeah.
You know? But then Gary Nolan says, well, you know, they took it out of my hands and I'm glad for that because I don't want to get involved with that. So we don't know what happened with that. We don't know who, you know, picked up the research. And this is why I think that someone within the Congress should get involved with, because it's the same thing. Like I think of things like the Rendlesham case.
Yeah.
Like whatever you think happened there, there is no question that some people got injured because of this. You know, some of the main witnesses complained of having long-lasting health issues by being exposed to whatever it is that landed or appeared within the base. I don't remember the name of this guy. One of the base guards had a heart condition that was apparently, according to him, caused by his involvement with the Rendlesham case. And I think it was Senator John McCain that got very interested in this case, that he supported him. And because of that, the U.S. government had to accept that he had been injured within duty. And that's why he got the benefits that he was fighting for all these years. So I think that all these people who have been suffering from Havana syndrome, and you're right, you know, maybe some people, they claim to have this the same thing, but maybe, you know, there's other cause for their problems. But nevertheless, someone within the government should, you know, organize these people and try to get some kind of public hearings. If nothing else, to try to get them the help they need.
Yeah. And of course, when you talk about Rendlesham, you have the very next day, the whole Cash Landrum incident with a similar right. shaped craft that, you know, injured those two women pretty badly.
Right. And the story goes that the government wanted to make a deal with the witnesses, but all everything beneath the table, like, you know, just dropped the case.
Mm.
But apparently, according to the story, the UFO people told them, no, we need to keep with the lawsuit. And that's when they lost, and they lost big time, because obviously they never were able to prove not only that they actually had a UFO experience, but that the UFO experience was in any way connected to the US government.
Yeah. Which is, yeah, just kind of messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you see a lot of these really horrible UFO encounters coming out of South America, too, that also right. seem to be radiation or something else, you know, microwave involved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah. So there was this other article that I thought was interesting. Natural explanations are being eliminated for Tabby Star. So this is the star that is blinking off and on, basically.
Mm.
And it says science fiction author John Michael Gaudier has maintained close observation of the readings from observation of KIC 8462852. The observations in the infrared are not agreeing with natural reasoning like dust and asteroid breakups. The dust and asteroids would need to have constant replenishment every few weeks in order for this to keep this mechanism repeating. So this eliminates singular random events. The infrared is not showing what we would expect from solar dust.
Interesting.
So yeah, something's causing it to unnaturally dim, as if being blocked. This is where people were speculating it was a Dyson sphere.
Right. But obviously we need to remember it's never aliens. Whatever the cause with astronomers today, it's never aliens.
Right.
I don't know why. It's kind of like some cognitive dissonance here with modern science, because they keep telling us, well, the universe is so big, and obviously we're such an uninteresting star in just some kind of like a backwards solar system, you know, and backwards planet, that it is so presumptuous of us to think that we are the only intelligent species in the universe. Okay, so the universe must be teeming with life, but anytime someone sees some kind of anomaly in cosmology, something that we've never witnessed before, they always rush to say, no, but don't think that that's some kind of like artificial or extraterrestrial alien explanation. No. Has to be another reason. We can never use the alien card unless it's like they're here landing in our face.
That's how I felt. And I finally found, it was a thing on Facebook a few months ago, an article that kind of like linked those two ideas together. So the official like idea from mainstream science is that, yes, there is, the universe is teeming with life, but our galaxy and all the other galaxies are separating and moving really far away from each other, really, really fast. And we are at a point now in our movement that we are so far away that nothing will ever reach us, that we're too far away from anything else. That's the explanation that I have found.
Mm,
I don't know.
I mean, Stanton Friedman, I mean, God bless him. I didn't always agree with Uncle Stan's position and ideas with regards to the UFO phenomenon. He obviously was in the nuts and bolts camp.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we chose him for the Hierophant card in our UFO tarot project. But nevertheless, he had good points when he says, okay, astronomers are always under the assumption that the next or the closest ET civilization must be hundreds of thousands of light years away from us. But what about if they are just, you know, a couple of light years away? Right. What if they're just in the, you know, within the local cluster? So why don't they take that into account? You know, they say, no, they must be in the next galaxy or something. Well, no, maybe they're just, you know, within the next, cosmological speaking, within the next block.
Well, look at Mars with Cydonia. So you have structures that look artificial. Now, they may not be, but they look artificial. So you're going to send something to Mars. And I understand you want to send it somewhere, you know, where you can get solid data, whether or not there's water, etc. But to me, if there's even a 1 in a million chance that those are actual artificial structures, you should at least take a better look. And instead, went nowhere near it, would not take more pictures of it, just kind of ignored it like it wasn't even there.
Yeah, the policies NASA takes to research Mars sometimes feel totally counterproductive. Like, they say they're looking for water, but at the same time, I once read that within their policies, they want to stay as far away as possible from actual locations where they could find liquid water on Mars, because they have a fear that they could actually contaminate that water.
Mm.
So it's like, okay, you are trying to search for life, but at the same time, you are going to the worst locations possible to find actual living organisms
on Mars.
They will only try to search for fossils, you know, things that lived thousands of millions of years ago. But, you know, saying that there's actual, you know, right now there is life on Mars, it's a heresy. Which is like, really? I mean, we've learned so much about how resilient and how persistent life is within our planet. You know, we've learned that with these what we now call extremophiles.
Yep.
You go to the farthest, the deepest reaches of the ocean where there's obviously no light, but you still have these what do you call these chimneys
lava tubes, yeah.
The lava tubes that expels all sorts of heat and organic matter, and obviously because of that, you see all sorts of life forms thriving the same way that possibly in the moon of Europa you will find. But something like that in Mars sometimes is inconceivable. You see changes in the level of methane in Martian atmosphere. And you sometimes see also changes in when you see Mars through a telescope, and you sometimes see things in the surface that are dark patches that are changing with the seasons. And even Arthur C. Clarke said, well, maybe that is some kind of like signs of vegetation of some kind.
Yep.
But NASA scientists are like, no, that's some kind of mirage. I said, always finding some kind of inorganic chemical explanation for things that in our planet we will immediately ascribe to organic activity. So it's really, I really would like to talk to a NASA scientist one of these days, like saying, guys, what are you doing here? Why are you always going with, you know, when you're seeing it right here in your face, but you're in denial, you know, of the evidence.
And then you have the probe that hit the Russian, or the Russian probe that got hit by something that came out and changed direction and knocked it out.
Right.
You know, Russia had no problem going, hey, a UFO just knocked our probe out of the sky.
Mm-hmm. It's something that satellite countries or countries that are not as powerful as the United States have no problem, interpreting in a different way. I remember there was also some Indian scientists coming to different conclusions with regards to extraterrestrial life or panspermia. And the first ones to criticize those kind of ideas are American scientists.
Yeah.
Which is, it's strange. It's peculiar.
It's dogmatic. They've already made up their mind. There's no other life in the solar system. There's no, period. And we're only going to acknowledge and look for data that confirms that.
Right. I don't know how that kind of attitude is going to foster or inspire the next generation of scientists and engineers. You know, I mean, how many people got into science because they watched Star Trek and say, oh my God, the universe teeming with life. I want to go try to find life in the universe. And then the first day they go to college, it becomes like drill camp. You know,
yeah.
You have the drill sergeant like, listen, you maggots, whatever you think, you're out there, we're all alone in the universe and we're going to die alone. And that's the way things are. Now give me 20.
Wow. Yes. I was just going to say something else about life out there. We also are looking for life like us, life that we know. So there could be stuff out there that we don't recognize. We're looking right at it. We don't even realize it's life.
Yeah, even here we could have a shadow biosphere. I think it's the actual proper term for it.
Oh,
that is totally outside our ideas of how life behaves. And actually, you know, asking a scientist, you know, what is the definition of life? they could spend maybe 10 minutes trying to explain what life is.
Right.
You know, there's the difference between organic and inorganic activity.
Yeah. All right. Well, it seems like a good place to stop. Anything either of you want to add?
I don't think so.
Keep watching the skies.
There we go. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Where Did the Road Go? This show is made possible in part from our Patreons, and we thank you and everyone listening for helping us continue this exploration of the strange. You can always find everything Where Did the Road Go related at www.wheredidtheroadgo.com. And thank you so much for your support.